The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
We have been treating the wonders of divine presence in the Wednesdays in this month so far. And last week we had that topic as well, wonders of divine presence. We're also going to continue in that topic for today, the wonders of divine presence. Never try to operate without the abiding presence of God. The presence of God is so vital in the life of a man. Divine presence is the secret of any successful Christian. Divine presence is the secret of any successful Christian. The presence of God in a man's life is the assurance of the future of any man. The presence of God in the life of a man is the assurance of that man's future. When a man or a woman has the presence of God in his or her life, it's a guaranteed future. It's a guaranteed success. It's a guaranteed, you know, you are somebody going somewhere to happen. Why? Because you carry the presence of the Lord. So now we are going to be unveiling benefits of divine presence and how to secure divine presence. But before we go there, I want us to open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33, verse 14 and 15. Exodus 33, 14 and 15. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Verse 15. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. That was Moses speaking. Moses knew the importance of the presence of God so much that in that particular verse 14, he said, if your presence does not go with us, don't let us go. The presence of God in a man's life is what differentiates him. A man that lacks the presence of God is just like a moving corpse. Quote and unquote. You might say corpses don't move, but corpses move. They carry them. Okay. They carry corpses. Corpses move. But honestly, a man that lacks the presence of God, there's no point living for that man or that woman. There's no point living. It is better to be like what Moses has said in verse 14, chapter 33. He said, it is better you don't go with us. I mean, it is better to be here. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not. In other words, it is better to be on the same spot and be there, no change, than make a move without God's presence. Any move without the presence of God is a movement into disaster. It's a movement into what? Uncertainty. You know, a typical example of somebody that experienced that wanted to experience the absence of, okay, the opposite of presence is absence. The man that experienced the absence of God in just a little bit was Jonah. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Jonah. I was reading this scripture over and over and again. I was trying to, you know, unveil that man, because of our time, that's not the focus for tonight. But I just wanted to see a little bit of what he went through when he wanted to go out away from God's presence. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Jonah 1, verse 1 to 3. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Verse 3. But Jonah, somebody say but. Whenever you see but, sometimes like the opposite, say but Jonah. But Jonah rose up. When God spoke to you and said, go to Nineveh, go and do this. But Bible says, but Jonah rose up. He rose up by himself to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I don't know what kind of, maybe when we get to heaven, I'll ask Brother Jonah, what happened to you? Do you think you can flee from the presence of God? I don't understand him. He said, the Bible said he rose up. God sent him, you know, if not for a time. I was trying to look at the distance between Tarshish and Nineveh. I wanted to see how far he actually went. But, you know, I couldn't really do that assignment, but I'll still do it, honestly. I wanted to know how far he ran. And to him, that thought was like he was running away from God. And he said, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down. Somebody say down. Whenever you go away from the presence of God, the person goes down. The presence of the Lord is what sustains a man. It not only sustains a man, it boosts a man up. But when you go away from the presence of the Lord, that person starts going down. And it says, and he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into Tarshish. If you read further down, I think in chapter 3 or so, eventually when he entered the ship, and then there was trouble concerning that ship. Why? Because somebody that was running away from God, somebody that at that point in time, I want to believe that the presence of the Lord was away from him, because that was not there. You know, God's presence is not, God's presence is doing the will of the Lord per time. You know, acquiring what God wants, doing the will of the Lord that will make him abide with you. But when you go against it, then you are only pushing him away. Jonah went into a boat or a ship. However, he went there thinking he could escape. The Bible said he went into the corner part and he hid himself and he started sleeping. And then all of a sudden, there was a storm, so great storm, that everybody on that ship began to call on the name of their own gods. Because of our time, I'm not going to go into the scriptures for us, but I'll just paraphrase it. They started to call on their own god, and they woke him up and said, look, Master Man, wake up. Cry out to your own God so that you should help us. He knew what he did. And he told them, say, look, throw me inside the ocean, the water, and then that will end the whole story. They themselves didn't want to do it. And then they asked God, Lord, if this man, our throwing him, make us sin, Lord, just have mercy upon us. However, when they threw him, bam, that was the end of the storm. But something very funny. God, Bible said, God had prepared a fish. God had prepared a fish. Whenever you go away from God's presence, there is always a prepared destruction awaiting that person. The Bible said God had prepared a fish. I don't know how that big, that fish was so big to take in Jonah at once. Perhaps without hurting him, I don't know. But the Bible says he was there for 3 days and three nights. I want to believe that place would be smelly. It would be disgusting. Only there's a saying in Yoruba. I want to take on my senior pastor's words. He said, like they used to say in my place. There's no sitting, there's no standing for that person that swallow mortar. I will not interpret it because he doesn't usually do. But you usually interpret it by yourself. So there's no sitting, there's no standing for whoever swallows a mortar. I want to believe that must have been the situation of Jonah. But we're not going to go further down because Jonah is not the real reason why we are here tonight. But you got me thinking on a whole lot of things. That do you like that particular thing? I wanted to ask him, would you prefer it 3 days like that? Just, you know, you can't stand. The fish has bones. Probably must be eaten. I don't know. The smelly, the environment is not, the place is total darkness. There's no future. You can't marry in that fish. You can't associate. You can't be, if you can't eat, the best you can do is just to keep perceiving anything till his faith was sealed up. Why? Because of what? The lack of the presence of God. Brethren, some people may not be in the fish physically, but some people are in the fish of the earth spiritually. Because they lack the presence of God. When you cannot move forward, why? And you know what to do. Joyce Meyer said something. He said, knowing what to do and not doing it is the sign of a typical unbeliever. Many Christians hear the word. It's not as if they don't know what to do, but not doing it makes you a complete unbeliever. It is not your hearing, it is your doing of the word of God. Brethren, Last week we unveiled on the benefits of divine presence. We treated rest, benefits of divine presence. We treated elevation, part of the benefit. We treated signs and wonders. We treated glory, deliverance from the enemy. All this were treated as benefits of God's presence. There is still much more we are going to be revealing to us tonight. The presence of God pays. There is no other place that you can be that is better off than the presence of God. You know, the psalmist said, it is better to be in your presence, to be a doorkeeper in your presence, than being anywhere else. You know how many of us have, if you've ever really felt deep worship, so deep, sometimes 5-10 minutes deep worship, I don't know how to explain it. Especially if I a deep watch, it carries me away. And then I'm like, I feel overwhelmed by the joy of just worshiping God, the presence of God. But when I come back to my real self, the reality of economy, what is here, what is there, by that time you start having some series of probably headache. Somebody came to you to ask for something. But at that time, honestly, the presence of God is it. Do all you can to maintain God's presence. Tonight, we're going to be shedding more light on the benefits of divine presence. I want us to hold something, if you're not going to hold anything, that after tonight, I will do all I can to maintain God's presence. I said it earlier, you're hearing the word and not doing it makes you a complete, not partial unbeliever, you are a complete unbeliever. But doing what you know that you have been taught, that is what sets you free. That is what makes you abide. For everyone under the sound of my voice tonight, the grace to do, the Lord will give every one of us in Jesus' name. Quickly, number one, benefits of divine presence. Prosperity. Prosperity. Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. Genesis 39, verse 2. One of the benefits of divine presence is prosperity. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Did you see the link? And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And you know something? And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. I want us to get something clear there. The Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph. In other words, God's presence abided with Joseph. And what happened to him? He was a prosperous man. The question that should pop up is that, can you be prosperous while being a slave? Joseph was a slave in the house of his master. No matter how, you know, for some of us have had slaves before. No, okay. Joseph was a slave in the house of his master, yes. For some of us have had house helps or somebody that helps you, that you pay or something in the house before. No matter how prosperous that house help can be, no matter how, he is still a house help. But for this scenario, Joseph was no longer a servant per se in the house of Potiphar. You know why? If you read further down, I think in verse 4, can we read verse? And Joseph found grace in his sight. That was in his master's sight. And he served him. That's his master. And he made him overseer. Somebody say overseer. Joseph was just a slave in that man's house. But because the Lord was with him, he was no longer a slave. Joseph became the general manager of what? Of Potiphar's household, of Potiphar's empire, or Potiphar's dynasty, or Potiphar's PLC. PPLC. He became the general manager. In other words, anybody, because the Bible says he became a, and he made him overseer. Overseeing anybody. If somebody had come in there before, into Potiphar's house, with certificates, PSC, MSC, PhD, and had been working for Potiphar, probably is the chief accountant of Potiphar's house. Excuse me, Joseph will still oversee that accountant. That means what? He may just be there, quote and unquote, as a servant, but he's no longer assuming the duties of a servant. He has stepped up. Why? The presence of the Lord made him prosperous. Somebody say prosperous. Do you know why he did that? In verse 3, let's go back to verse 3. Verse 3 of that. And his master saw. Somebody say saw. The master saw that the Lord was with him. The master knew. Perhaps the master's account was in 6 digits before Joseph came in. Immediately Joseph came in, he found out that his accounts were no longer 6 digits. It had moved to about 8-9 digits. He knew Joseph was there. And the Bible says, and the master saw, because the master had many servants. But the master knew this one was a different one. In other words, brethren, your job, quote and unquote, is not what makes you prosperous. Not the kind of job you do. It's not what makes you prosperous, as long as it is legit. So that you won't get me wrong. So that you won't say people that do Yahoo Yahoo or Yahoo Plus 2, the kind of job. No. The kind of legit job you do is not what makes you prosperous. The legit job you do is not what makes you prosperous. Being a banker is good. Being a medical doctor is good. Being a lawyer is good. But I tell you, all those things do not make you prosperous. The Bible said here that Joseph was in his master's house as a servant. Yet, he was not occupying the post of a servant. You know, do you know that some people that you admire in tie, lovely suits in the banks, might just, in love, some under AC, they are still sweating. They are not sweating because of the condition of the environment. What is making them sweat is internal. Honestly. There was a man I had to counsel about 2 months ago. I went to the bank to do some one or two things, and then he told me his problem. I said, you are so fine that one would not imagine that you are going through this. He said, my sister, honestly, these are. He has a salary of about 6 digits, yet he has nothing to take home every month. And then the Holy Spirit just asked me, I just asked him, are you a tighter? He said, ma. Mrs. Kuforiji, I can't. The little that is coming to me is not enough. I said, that's where your problem is. Start from there and ask me in a month's time if God has not done it. Come and put your hand in my mouth. That is if your ways are right. I had to put those conditions as well. Praise the Lord. What am I trying to say? Your job does not make you prosperous. What makes you prosperous is the ability to carry the presence of God in what you do. Tell your neighbor, carry the presence of God in what you do. Your prosperity is not tied to your occupation. It's not tied to your location. Some people believe that if I don't relocate to, it's good to travel to America, it's good to travel to London, it's good to travel to Canada. If God is leading you there, so be it. But I tell you, your success is not tied to UK. An agama lizard in Nigeria is an agama lizard in UK. He will never get there to become an alligator. No. It is, you keep seeing him, keep nodding. I watched something on somebody's social media thing. And then this lady intentionally, she traveled to UK for a ministration. And I don't know, some of us might have seen it. When she got there, I think I showed Pastor. The woman intentionally, me myself, if not for that, I've been to UK before and I didn't see that. Maybe the time I went out, I didn't see that. I saw Oyinbos. They were hawking on the streets like they usually hawk in Lagos. You know, that kind of. They were hawking as an akata. They call it whitey. You know, it's not if it was a black hawking there. He was a complete white guy hawking. They carried the drinks in a small bucket. Cold, and he was serving them. So the lady was intentional, because the lady was viewing it and was saying it in Yoruba. It is not only in Lagos they hustle. They hustle even in UK here. Nigerians, shine your eye. Don't come here, come and hawk. Honestly, she was not telling the white guy the guy was bringing Fanta. He said, no, I want Coke. Change it back to Sprite. She was intentionally late so that she could keep recording. But what am I trying to get out here? That you are there. It's not automatic success. Sometimes it is shallow mentality. When we sell all we have, when God has not led you there, you sell all and then you relocate and then you start praying, God, give me visa. Every demon rebooking my visa. Father, I bind them. There's nobody binding visa. There's no demon. God does not want you to go there. Simple. Praise the Lord. But when you go with the presence of God, then you prosper. Your location does not make you prosperous. Your occupation does not make you prosperous. Joseph was in a funny location. Oh, he was a slave in his master's house, in a no man's land. Yet, the Bible recorded in Genesis 39 verse 2, he was a prosperous man. That is what I call prosperity. Praise the Lord. You know, I heard the story of a woman. In fact, it was a testimony. That woman came out and was rolling on the floor and thanking God. What happened to this woman? She said, "Now, banana, I dey say. Now, banana." And she was very proud to say, "Now, banana. But I want to thank God. Say, this banana where I dey sell, I don't send three pikin go school." The third one was already 7. And then they interviewed that one that was 7. Said she by herself, with God on her side, has been able to help people to go to. Apart from that, there are people that came to church too. That somebody came to her and was crying for a challenge of 5,000. She said, he looked at her and said, "No, God has solved my problem past 5,000. She said she dipped her hands in her pocket and gave that one 5,000. Said, "As I did so, I can give you 100,000 from my account." This woman is a banana seller. But she wasn't a banana seller like a normal banana seller. She was a banana seller with a difference. That difference was that she served God. She carried the presence of God. You might be wondering, how can banana? Honestly, I look at it. Is it which school fees can the proceeds of banana pay? Excuse me, is it Unilorin or Kwasu? Hello. Praise the Lord. I don't know what kind of school those students went to. But for her to have successfully sponsored 2 higher, they are 7. They were 7. And yet this woman still came and said she can give you 100,000. No, you that are working in a sutai place, can you give 100,000? The difference is the presence. This woman, and when she was saying what she did, she's a kingdom person. So winning every, we are still going to come there. But all what I'm trying to say is, she is not ordinary. Ordinary, what made her different from the regular banana seller is the presence of God that she carries. God is the one that prospers. The Bible says, silver and gold is mine, says the Lord. It is God that gives riches. It is God that gives. It is not what you sell that makes you rich. It is God in himself that blesses you. The Bible says, he's the one that blesses and addeth no sorrow. God is the one that can prosper your business. Why don't you take him and let him be with you? The presence of God around you prospers you. Tell your neighbor, God's presence makes a difference. For ladies, don't marry a man because of what he drives. Marry a man because of what drives him. Hallelujah. Abraham was nobody before God called him. God called Abraham at the age of 75. For you to live in your father's house for 75 years old, till 75, that must have been a whole lot for that man. Many of us that are youth, once you are 30, you want to go and rent your own house. You want to furnish it. But this man was 75, still in his father's house. He had no bearing. But God visited him. And immediately, he carried on God with himself. There was no record of how Abraham moved from his father. The Bible says Abraham moved. He departed. The Bible says, I think in Genesis 12 verse 1, he said, and Abraham departed. If he had went with sheep and oxen, it would have been recorded, and Abraham went with sheep and oxen and men servants like that. But the Lord said, and Abraham just departed. Okay, I think it's verse 4, further down. Verse 4. And Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Very short. But if you read further down about Abraham, later on, when he carried God's presence, his movement was beyond, and Abraham departed. No, it was beyond that. He had moved to many verses of what he moved with him. Why? Because he carried the presence of God makes the difference in a man's life. Never make an inch. Don't move a move. Don't make any move without God's presence. That is what makes you a remarkable living being on earth. I pray the Lord will help us more in Jesus' name. There are so many people. God's presence gives you, it doesn't just make you prosperous. It gives you an identity. The presence of God gives an identity. It's an identity of a blessed man. Look at the life of Jacob. Jacob lived with Laban. And Laban knew that real wealth visited him. He knew. That was why Laban did not want Jacob to leave. He forcefully wanted to use wayo koni koni to hold him down. Because he knew that, fine, I may have been blessed reasonably. But immediately Jacob came into the house, he noticed something else had increased in his resources. The presence of God around Jacob made Laban to prosper. In other words, look at Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom accommodated the ark of God for just 3 months. Just 3 months. This was an ark of God that a whole king left and said, look, this ark has killed many people. Let's leave it here. But it was dumped in Obed-Edom's house. He took it, accommodated the presence. The ark of God signified the presence of God. It was like anybody that carried the presence of, ark of God was, that's, you know, in back then, once the Philistines see the ark of God, they know that's the presence of God. He accommodated the ark of God, brethren, for just 3 months. Even the fowl, the chicken, the cockroaches in the house of Obed-Edom knew that wealth has come. So much so, it was so pronounced that the news reached the king. Said, look, the man you left the ark with is greatly and tremendously blessed. And King had to go back and retrieve it and say, no, these blessings cannot be for you alone. Let it spread to the entire Israel. What am I trying to say? The presence of God in the house of Obed-Edom made a turnaround. It brought him prosperity. The presence of God in the life of Joseph made him move from stage to stage. If you look at Uzziah in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles 26. Can we quickly read? 2 Chronicles 26. Uzziah at age 16. The Bible says, as long as Uzziah sought the Lord. Let's go to verse 5. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Your prosperity is tied to what? To the presence of God. Bible says, for as long as he sought the Lord. Normally, every king should have some substantial amount of wealth, especially first class kings. You understand? Uzziah, but the Bible says, for as long as he sought the Lord. In other words, for as long as God's presence abided with him, he prospered. Your prosperity is tied to the presence of God. So, brethren, tonight I've come to tell you, whatever you do, if you must be prosperous, let the presence of God abide with you. Number two, it gives benefits of God's presence, of divine presence, access to revelation and revelational secrets. Access to revelational secrets. God's presence comes with revelation and insight. Daniel had access to this kind of revelation that year in, year out, from after every political reign, Daniel was still reigning. Why? Because of the deep level of insight he enjoyed. He didn't enjoy it by, it wasn't just because of a certificate, no. Because of the presence of God that he carried, he was able to enjoy such deep revelation and insight in that place. The story of the king who enjoyed revelation through, there was this king in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 to 13. There was a particular, can we quickly go there? 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 to 13. There was a story of this king there. Anytime the enemies came, all right? And the Bible says, okay, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. Can you imagine? The king of Syria was going to attack the Israelites. And every time they made a move and said, look, I'm going to attack Tipa Garage. Let's camp at Excellence Hall first. And then immediately they get to Excellence Hall, their spies may have told them that, yes, Israelites are in Tipa Garage. Once they're about shooting, they will find that Israelites have moved from Tipa Garage. They may have moved towards Gakombi or Okeodo. And then it wasn't just once. It kept on recurring that the king was so violent and said, no, there is an internal enemy somewhere. Somebody is revealing the secret. No. And you know, it's very strange. When only three of you do a meeting, I say, okay, how do we take the next move? I say, okay, let's do it like this. That same move, it fails. The first time, second time, third time, fourth time. The three of you come and say, hey, let's talk to ourselves. Somebody else is, like my pastor will say, somebody is Somebody is pouring the, I don't know how to put it in English, in your kondale. I was trying to translate it, I couldn't. I just had to burst out in Yoruba. I'm sorry, sir. Praise the Lord. You know, you'll be so confused that somebody somewhere. Sir, borrow me English now. It's Dale Awos. It's eh? The Lord bless us. You understand the reason what I'm saying, what I'm actually trying to say. In this scenario, and then the king was so furious, he knew that something somewhere was wrong. But deep down, somebody had said, look, oh king, make you don't give yourself headache. There is somebody, there is a prophet that whatever you are doing in your toilet, he sees it right there. This would not have been if not for the presence of God. Many times, God's servant, our senior pastor, many times, there was a particular couple that they were traveling, and then the Lord revealed something to him. He called them right there and then and said, where are you? Those couple told me, said, ah, Benigwe pastor. Those couple told me, said, ah, what are papa laje? Honestly. He called because I did not tell him. They said because they did not tell him they were traveling. And then pastor called them right there and then, where are you? And then they were started stammering and said, you know. But a man that enjoys the presence of God will not lack revelation. A man that enjoys the presence of God would not lack insight. If you enjoy God's presence, God will reveal secret things to you. Psalm 25 verse 14 says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. If God can keep secrets with you, then you know that your destiny is secured. Hallelujah. You know, Solomon, God gave Solomon so much wisdom that the queen of Sheba, a whole queen of Sheba, came visiting. Visiting not because she wanted to tap anything, but she came to see because of what people had said. And then he came and she came. She didn't just see, she was even more wowed by what she saw, according to the Bible. Why? Because of insight and revelation. It was God that gave Solomon that wisdom. So you don't expect anything less. Number three, security. My time is fast spent. Psalm 9, verse 3. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. God's presence gives security. It is the presence of God that was with the Israelites that shielded them from the evil hands of the Egyptians. The senior pastor has once said this here before. There was a time he was traveling from Lagos, and because of the traffic was so much, they got to Bumosh around 2 a.m. at night, and they were sprayed by bullets all over the car. To them, it sounded like stones because they didn't know. The following day, he just parked the car and then he went to bed. But I believe God left those signs there, those bullet holes there, for him to see that, look, this is God at work. You don't need more than 2 bullets. Honestly. Some, you just hear stray bullets. The bullets just pierce them a little. And then, pew, they were 6 feet down. But may that not be you a nice portion in the name of Jesus. But God's servant, when I counted, honestly, the following day, when they called the mechanic to pick the vehicle to go and fix it, police ran after the vehicle and held that vehicle. This is a stolen vehicle. They had used it to rob. The bullet holes, and they were in strategic places. Near the glass, near the fuel, near the tire, in all the boots. 7, I counted it. Not like Sid, they told me, I counted 7 bullet holes. Brethren, security is assured when you enjoy the presence of God. Can you count this year alone? The number of near accidents, near, you will have had. Near. Oh, I was, many testimonies have gone forth. Oh, we were traveling, we saw many accidents on the road, the Lord preserved us. This one, the Lord preserved us. I almost entered a vehicle, and that vehicle was in front, had an accident. The Lord preserved me. The presence of the Lord gives you heavy security. You know something? The heavier your presence, the heavier the presence of God you carry, the heavier the security heaven installs on you. Haven't you imagined it as human beings? When a dignitary is passing, there is a level of security that an ordinary counselor may command. There's a level, there's another level of security that another maybe upper counselor, maybe a local government chairman may command, and then a governor. Obviously, you won't see a governor work without any security, probably more than 3-4. Broad chested, you see them walking, and then president, it won't just be in number, it will be in cars. Because they attach that the more the authority they carry, the more security they should have. That's for the earthly one. But for you and I, the more you can tap more into God's presence, the more relevant you become with God, the more security God gives you. I once heard this thing from Bishop David Oyedepo. He said, no witch can come to me except they want to die. They will advise themselves who wants to die and then should send their representative and come. He said, no witch. He said, I repeat, no witch. Why? It's not boast. It is the level of the presence of God that he carries that is commanding that boldness. Honestly, God, nobody has monopoly of God. You go get more, as you can dip yourself in God's presence and see if God will not value you so much. He will. So, brethren, number three, he gives what? Security. Security. You know, I heard the story of those young people that were traveling. And while they were traveling, one of the people inside the vehicle, their mom, told them, now look, as you are going in this journey, the Lord will go with you. One naughty, or do I say, very, very nasty, one of them just answered and said, there's no space for God in this car. And that was the end. Do you know something? Not quite long after they moved, the car had a terrible accident. Every one of them died. But in the boot of the car, there was a crate of egg. Not one thing happened to the crate of egg. They said, the youth mentioned and said, there's no space for God in this car, except he wants to stay in the boot. And God showed them an accident that could kill every one of them, that left a crate of egg intact without scratch. That can only be God. Brethren, be careful with your mouth. And the presence of God orders you so that you won't walk with the wrong kind of people. Jonah was a man that had lacked the presence of God when he left Nineveh to Tarshish. He almost cobalized the remaining brethren in the ship. But if not that they inquired of their gods and said, let us inquire what is happening. He said, okay, let us throw him. If not, they will have all died. If you require God's presence, not just for your own personal security now, to even know who to walk with, to know who to journey with, to know who to take. I have heard testimonies. I was in a bus and something just told me to move. I moved out of the bus. Somebody else came in and immediately they moved. The destruction might just be for one person and the entire bus is in trouble. The Lord will order your steps. May you not walk with the wrong people. You will not walk with the damned people. The Lord will secure your going out and your coming in. But this is beyond just our saying of amen alone. Secure God's presence. Number four, open doors. Open doors. You know, but quickly before we go to that number four, I just want us to read something. Sorry, Genesis chapter 20. My time is fast spent. Genesis 20. I so much love this story. Genesis 20 verse 1 to 17. I won't be able to read, but because... Let's just go to Genesis 20, verse 1 to 17. I'll just paraphrase. You know, God, I was illustrating the other time. I said, the way God views, the more you key yourself in God's presence, the more security you command. You know, sometimes when you are so deep in God's presence, the way God fights for you sometimes, and you won't know it. We call God some one name in Yoruba. I said, Ogbemonija, Kero Bonija. It means he defends you. You yourself that he's defending. You become afraid that God, is this not too much? Look at Moses. God defended Moses when Miriam, his own sister, spoke ill against him. She didn't speak ill in front of Moses. She spoke behind Moses. Yet God stood up and defended. Why? Because the level of presence of God Moses carries is different. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, if you read the Bible, they were not ordinary men. They were also elders in Israel. They were elders. So in other words, they might have believed God to a reasonable extent. Yet, they went against Moses and rebelled. And what happened? God rose up. God rose up. The more you dip yourself in the presence of God, the more the security. God did something for Abraham in Genesis chapter 20. If you read, let's quickly, when we get home, you can read it. Genesis 20, let's get there. Genesis chapter 20. Something happened there. You know what happened to Abraham there? Abraham took Sarah, his wife, went to that country, dwelled there, and told Sarah, see, behave, you're my sister for now, okay? And then she said, yes, sir. The king saw old Sarah, say, this is, mama is not looking bad. Took the mama as a wife instantly. But you know something funny about that story? That king was a Christian. He was a believer. Let's read together. Let's read from verse 10. Okay, before then, like verse 8, please. Quickly. Therefore, Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants. Okay, before now, immediately he took the wife of Abraham. God showed up in the dream. That was it. Let me just paraphrase it. God showed up in the dream, in his dream, and God said unto him in the dream, yeah, I know that thou did this in the integrity of thy heart. When I read, I say, God, you know this man did this thing in the integrity. In other words, he did it innocently. He didn't mean harm. But God told him, he said, yes, I also will tell you from sinning against me. Therefore, suffered I thee not to touch her. God was telling, I said, it was me that didn't allow you to touch her. Let's read further down. But I said that conversation to just lie low like that. Okay, God, I didn't know that. In fact, the man lied to me. And God said, yes, I didn't allow you to also touch her too. But, you know, that should have just settled the whole case. But he didn't settle there. Oh, move ahead. Now, therefore, restore the man, his wife. He is a prophet. In other words, his level is different from your own. And he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. In other words, you might die if he doesn't pray for you. And if thou restore her not, no doubt that thou shalt surely die. Thou and all that are dying. Ejo, Abimelech is the king that offended. His entire dynasty was about being wiped off. Why? Because of the level of presence that Abraham carried. Verse 8, quickly. Therefore, Abimelech rose early in the morning, very early, called all his servants and told all this in their ears. And the men were so afraid. Next verse, please. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done to us? What have I offended thee, King Mupishe, that thou brought on me and on my entire kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done this unto me that ought not. You can read further down. You know what happened to him? God had already made all the women in that kingdom barren. He had not slept with her, just Sarah sleeping in that man's room or apartment over the night. And God had already judged the man and himself and his entire male dead. You are dead, mate. Do you know what happened? And then this man was pleading and said, God, you know my heart. I didn't have evil intention. He told me himself that it's his sister. So in what way have I gone wrong? But you know something? There is a level of God's presence you carry. Honestly, when God fights for you, I was expecting God to come back and bounce on Abraham, then don't lie again. And then you understand, like, kind of, I reprove him. But he didn't. This man was a man that he was, I don't know how to explain, because of our time, let's move on, you understand. But number 5, open doors for success. Open doors for success. You know, the divine presence gives you open doors. Joseph prospered from Potiphar's house. From that place, he prospered. From there, he went to the prison. The prison ogre still made him an overseer. He couldn't have been a second fiddle. Why? Because of what he carried. What he carried made open doors for him. Abraham and Lot were together at some point in time. God revealed them, look, separate. Alright? And then Abraham told Lot, okay, pick one. Which one do you want? Left or the right? Oh, Lot looked and said, wow, this land looks juicy. I'll definitely go for this one. Divine presence. Abraham looked at the other. He was like a desert. Yet, he picked it. But you know something? Immediately, Abraham moved into the desert place. Blessings moved into that land. Immediately, he moved. Alright? Favor moved into that land. It is not the location. You become a mobile what? A mobile blessing because of what you carry. Abraham moved. That same place that looked juicy, Sodom and Gomorrah, came where it was later destroyed. Why? Because of some things that they did. They lacked the presence of God. It is God's presence that opens doors and makes success for you. Brethren, my time is fast spent, but quickly, how can we secure this divine presence? Number one, maintain godly character. Maintain godly character. Psalm 140, verse 13. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. Sin drives you away from God's presence. Many call themselves, we are in a generation whereby many people are bankrupt of fear of God. Many are bankrupt. You see some born again, they will tell you I'm a born again Christian. It's a lie. You should even run for the devil first when you see them. Because of some people call themselves Christians, but are you the type, you call yourself a Christian, are you still sleeping around? You are a married man, you still have girlfriends. You are a young lady, you are not married yet, you are having even one boyfriend that you have, you are still sleeping around with him. Those kind of characters make you what? Stay away from God's presence. They push you away from God's presence. Some people cannot be trusted with check. Joseph was a man that his boss, a slave, his boss trusted him with the entire dynasty. His entire house, everything. And yet he didn't mess up. Can you be trusted? Your boss left just one single check with you. One single check. Before he came back, he added zero at the back. He said, it is the Lord that giveth thee wisdom. That is not the Lord. It is the devil from the depth of the devil that gave you that horrible. There are different kinds of wisdom. Oh, the good one and the devilish one. May God give you the good wisdom. In the name of Jesus. You know, the Lord give you a good wisdom. In the name of Jesus. Maintain uprightness if you must secure God's presence. The Bible says Job eschewed evil. Job was a man that eschewed evil. The more you eschew evil, the more evil is far away from you, the more you enjoy God's presence. You can't enjoy God's presence when you are not a man or a woman that can be trusted. But let me ask you one sincere question. Can your Christianity be transported from your home? I asked one young lady some months back. I said, look, go and make your ways right. Let the people in your home, let them affirm it that you are a born-again Christian. And then she looked at me. I said, until you can transport that Christianity from your house, you are not a born-again Christian. When your husband can't categorically say, this person is born again, no. Your parents can't ascertain it. In other words, you are hypocritical. What you do at home is different from what you do in the public. When Jesus comes, it is not what you do in public that will be reckoned with. What you do in the secret is what will be recorded with. Make your ways right. Yes, presence of the Lord for you to secure, make your... Number two, kingdom service. My time is fast spent. Heaven's attention is drawn to you if you are a kingdom steward. If you love God, you will walk in his house. Get involved in kingdom service. There's a woman in Luke chapter 2, verse 36 to 37. Her name was Anna, a prophetess. The Bible says she became a widow. She was 84 years old. This woman became a widow after about 7 years when her husband died. And then she served God with something. The Bible says she served God with prayer and fastings. In other words, there is a kind of service that is prayer and fastings. Until you get to a level, if you are still sitting in church, you haven't joined any department yet. You are still waiting for your own department to be created. You are only what? Wasting time. You are not attracting God's presence that way. Serve God. Serve God. Service can be done. There are different kinds of service. In-house service, join a department. Fastings and prayings for the saints. Revival kind of. Those are part of it. Prayer banquet is coming. You're praying. Those are part of it. Number three, my time is past. Number three, giving. When you give to a point in your life that nothing is too big to give to God, then you can be acclaimed to love God so much. That you cannot separate love and giving. No. If a lady here in a relationship, all right, and you are in a relationship with a guy and he hasn't been given to you, I say it, cut it off. Mm-hmm. You cannot separate love and giving. And if you are a guy, the lady has not been given, cut it off. It takes two to tango. You cannot love. You can't love without giving. Giving is part of it. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. One of the ways we can know that you love God is to give. Kingdom giving. Kingdom projects. Your givings. Your offerings. Solomon gave so much in one night. He was so much an offering. 1,000 burnt offerings. 1,000 in one day. God stood up. Said no. Showed up. What do you want? Blank check. Blank check. Many of us pray for blank check. But you have not prayed or you have not been doing that which that can command the blank check. Look at Abraham. God, Bible said God tested him. He tested, he said, Abraham, okay, stand up, sacrifice your son that you love. He may have said, okay, maybe it's Ishmael. But God knew him. God said, Isaac, to be specific. Sacrifice Isaac for me. You will have to go to a journey 3 days. When you get there, I will tell you where exactly you will sacrifice him. I want to believe he used wisdom. He picked the boy immediately without wasting time. He didn't tell Mother Sarah. Perhaps Sarah would have said, hey, my enemies have come again. I helped you so that we can have Ishmael. You said, Kiniko, now, the only one that I gave back to at the age of 99, you want to take it away? No. This is not God you are hearing. My enemies are at work. But he knew the kind of wife he married. And then, because Sarah is very convincing, that's another topic for another day. Abraham had never had a record of adultery. But when Sarah came in and convinced him, said, my Abi, sleep with Hagar just one night. That may be the promised child. Father Abraham, that we talk about so much faith, sinned in that particular area. So I want to believe if Sarah had convinced him again, say, Abi, no, do this. He may, praise the Lord. But he quickly adjusted, took his kaya, two servants, let's go. They jogged to Mount Moriah. When God saw his heart and saw that he was about to sacrifice that which cost him so much, his son of old age, not a son that you can still give back to easily, God showed up and said, in blessing, I will bless you. God swore over him. The swearing didn't come initially. It came because there was nothing Abraham could hold back for God. Until you get to that point whereby you cannot hold back anything from God, you are not there yet. Tell your neighbor, may you get there. Some people have been having the same offering from January 1st. 2017 will soon end now. The same offering, 50-50 naira. A man share one, 100 naira. Some people tell, please give me change. 100 naira. Kingdom project, wonder seed, you will not drop. But after tonight, the Lord will give you a new mind. A mind to give. Blessings don't come cheap. Something must have been done. What's your given? What does your level of giving command? Then you can say, Lord, I enjoy this. Praise the Lord. And quickly, number four, maintain joy and excitement. Lastly, maintain joy and excitement. The Bible says in Psalm 16 verse 11, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Joy is a catalyst for divine presence. Life will always give us reasons to be sad, reasons to be depressed. They will always give us. But you have to make up your mind. Whatever it is, I choose to be happy. On this note, because my time is fast spent, you know, I'm just going to draw this to an end. When you are depressed, you are excused from God's presence. Do all you can to maintain your joy. Do all you can to maintain your joy. I heard the story of a poor man that was saying, I may be poor, but I thank God I'm not like a sick man. The sick man looked at himself and said, I may be sick, but I thank God I'm not like this madman. The madman looked at himself, did like this, and said, I thank God, and pointed to the cemetery. I'm not there yet. Praise the Lord. What am I trying to say? Bible says a living dog is better than a dead lion. A living dog is better than a dead lion. For as long as there is life, there is hope. Whenever there is hope, do all you can to maintain joy and excitement. And I pray the Lord will help us all in Jesus' name.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.